This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, where he also directs UVA's Center for Politics, and he is the author most recently of The Year of Obama, How Barack Obama Won the White House. We want to get Professor Sabato's reflections today on the passing of longtime Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy. And Larry, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg. Nice to be with you.
Obviously, everyone in Washington, everyone who follows politics or the Kennedy family knew this day was coming, and probably sooner rather than later after the brain tumor diagnosis last year. So a lot of the tributes have been coming in now over the past year or so. But as you look at Kennedy's 47 years in the U.S. Senate nearly, what do you see as the thing that stands out most? Is it a particular issue? Is it his own legacy within America's closest thing to a royal family? What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Ted Kennedy?
The length of time he served in the Senate, 47 years. Think about this, Greg. He served in the Senate longer than any of his brothers lived. And that's remarkable. Very few people serve in the Senate for longer than a couple of decades. And to serve for nearly a half century and to have the kind of influence that Ted Kennedy had because of his family and because of his seniority means that he was involved in virtually every significant fight in the Senate on every major piece of legislation you can think of. I mean, it's hard to think of one that Kennedy didn't have a strong viewpoint about and didn't take a role in, a hand in shaping. So it's well worth remembering that, whether you liked him or disliked him, agreed with him or disagreed with him.
Ted Kennedy wasn't supposed to be the son of Joe and Rose Kennedy that amounted to greatness. He had three older brothers, as you've already mentioned, that were killed far too young. And he, of course, ascended to his brother's Senate seat after Jack was elected president in 1960. At that time, of course, he was just 30 years old. His opponent said if his last name wasn't Kennedy, his candidacy would be a joke. How long did it take Ted Kennedy to really get his bearings here in Washington?
Ted Kennedy was not a significant senator until, interestingly enough, after Chappaquiddick. He was overshadowed by both of his brothers, tragically both assassinated in the 1960s. The personal burdens that he carried because of those assassinations and trying to be a surrogate father to all of those Kennedy kids in addition to his own really made it impossible for him to have a significant role in the Senate for a long time. After Chappaquiddick, even though he eventually ran for president in 1980, I think deep down Ted Kennedy knew that his career was going to be in the Senate. Unlike his brothers, who really weren't very good legislators, they were interested in running for president. Ted Kennedy buckled down, learned the ways of the Senate, and therefore became one of the most influential senators of the 20th century.
In terms of Chappaquiddick and, of course, how that impacted the 1980 campaign, how significant of a legacy should Chappaquiddick be as we remember the totality of Ted Kennedy's life? Obviously, it played a huge factor about a decade later when he was challenging President Carter in his own party's primary. But in terms of the long narrative, which obviously there is a very long narrative today, how significant should Chappaquiddick be in there?
Well, it's a big chapter in the story. You can't ignore it. Is it all there is? Of course not. You know, America is the land of second chances, though, as Kennedy critics point out, Mary Jo Kopechne, the woman killed at Chappaquiddick, didn't get a second chance. But look, Kennedy's legacy is complicated. Most public people have complicated legacies when they're around this long. Kennedy had fierce partisans and fierce enemies. And I suppose that's the mark of somebody who has great influence and overall has been quite successful politically.
In terms of this label, the liberal lion of the Senate, is that a moniker that is probably some sort of legacy from the 1980 campaign when he basically challenged Jimmy Carter from the left? How did he basically come to be a hero of those in the liberal wing of the party?
He was much more liberal than John F. Kennedy. There's just no question about that. Bobby Kennedy became very liberal in the 1967-68 period leading to his presidential candidacy and assassination. But Ted was the most liberal of the three, and partly because he became the champion of the dispossessed, and he felt that his brothers, and particularly Bobby, had tried to represent the dispossessed. So when you think of Ted Kennedy, you think of the battles for minority rights and the Voting Rights Act, and you think of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and you think of a whole wide range of issues in that category, not just in the Senate, but in the country. Beyond that, though, there was another Ted Kennedy, and it's the Ted Kennedy most of us didn't get to see. We got to see the partisan who ripped Republicans up one side and down the other, which made him very popular with the base. The other Ted Kennedy was the private Ted Kennedy who could sit in a conference room with Republican colleagues in the Senate and hammer out a deal that was a real compromise of interests on right and left, and then Kennedy had the clout to make the compromise stick. Remember, most senators don't have that clout. You can reach any kind of deal in a conference room. The question is, can you make it stick? Can you get it to pass? And Kennedy was one of those rare legislators who could bring people together just enough to get things passed.
Larry, as you know, it's been called the cause of his life, this push for universal health care reform. And obviously, he'd been sidelined for most of this most recent debate on that issue. Number one, two-part question here. Number one, how much has his absence in this debate affected the Democrats' efforts to push it? And secondly, do you expect Democrats to use his passing as some sort of emotional trigger for reviving what appears to be legislation that's in pretty big trouble?
Kennedy's absence just can't be overrated in terms of what's happened to the health care bill. For one thing, I don't think Kennedy would have ever allowed a bill to proceed without being a real bill that had pieces signed on by both houses and a clear funding mechanism. You know, a big piece of the problem with this health care reform bill has been that every Tom, Dick, and Harry in Congress has a new means for funding it, another tax. All of these things have made headlines, and it's turned a lot of people off. Now, no one likes new taxes, but if you're going to have a new tax, pick one and stick with it. Don't propose 15 different taxes. That's what the Democrats have done, and it's cost them dearly. I don't think Kennedy would have made that mistake. Now, look, Obama obviously is going to try to make this bill a monument to Ted Kennedy, and that will work with some wavering Democrats, probably. But we also ought to remember that in Washington in particular, sentiment doesn't last a long time.
Larry, fascinating to look back on, obviously a very pivotal career. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Larry Sabato teaches political science at the University of Virginia. He's the director of UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book is The Year of Obama. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.